News Talk Saturday.
Now, the Winter Olympics, as it goes, opening ceremony got underway in recent hours, really. It's only finished up and we've got some of the events underway as well. And joining me now to look at the movies that are based on winter sports, but we'll probably broaden it out also to sports more generally, is our film, movie critic and entertainment journalist, Brian Lloyd. Brian,
you're
welcome into the studio. We'll start off with the one that everyone knows. We have a few clips that we're going to run over the next few minutes, but let's just get started. Winter Olympics, a lot of people in this part of the world watching, but it has generated a lot of movies.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah, and I think a lot of it is down to the fact that like the US and Canada have had obviously major showings in it, but also as well, just the actual Winter Olympics themselves, they have become quite cinematic through the years. Like I remember one of the years, I think it was one of the Canadian Winter Olympics, Ivan Reitman, who was the director of Ghostbusters, director of Groundhog Day, he was actually involved with the ceremony and lit the Olympic torch. So yeah, it does have a lot of kind of cinematic connotations. The big one, I would say, and we have a clip of this, the big one that everyone kind of talks about when it comes to Winter Olympics is Cool Runnings.
Yeah, which is the Jamaican team. And we have a bit of a clip of that now.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the ride. Get on up. It's bobsled time. Cool Runnings.
That's a hair faster than the Swiss.
Well, this is an absolute shock in the making. Yesterday, they were falling down almost at the start. Now they slide in smoothly. Yesterday, their heads were bobbing everywhere. Where did these guys come from?
So, Brian, just the idea of a Jamaican bobsleigh
team—it is ridiculous.
In itself, is funny, and then off you go.
And then off you go from that. Yeah. So it was based loosely, very, very loosely based on the true story of a Jamaican bobsleigh team at the 1988 Calgary Olympics. It starred John Candy, the great John Candy. There was Dougie Doug, Malik Yoba. What the story of it was that was kind of taken from real life and then kind of transposed into the film was it was the athletics team in Jamaica. A few of the runners weren't able to make it, but then they kind of took on bobsleigh because they felt that there was kind of similarities in it in terms of athleticism, the idea of teamwork, relaying and so on and so forth. And John Candy was this retired coach who took on the team. Very kind of like very mid-90s, very kind of feel good kind of thing, but it's had a life, you know, that sort of way. Like you hear that the slogan of it, and people.
Once I heard the Winter Olympics was on, I immediately went Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings, yeah, of course. And like I would say as well, like bobsleigh as a sport. I mean, I know nothing about it, but I know it visually is very appealing to look at. You know, that sort of way. The speeds that they're able to get up to and everything else, and the cameras now that they have fitted to the helmets make it seem very, very exciting. So yeah, it feels like. Oddly enough, it feels like one of the most obvious choices to turn into a film.
And John Candy was at the absolute zenith at that point.
He was,
wasn't
he?
Planes, trades and automobiles.
Everything
you know,
else.
He was it. I mean,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, like, and again, I think his sort of warm, you know, forgiving, you know, just welcoming nature kind of guided you into this world. Because, you know, obviously we think of Winter Olympics, you know, you think of like the harshness of it. You think of like, you know, the Soviet Union and all the rest of it that came with that. And then you think of like Iceland and Mighty Ducks. And I know we're going to be talking about that later. But to give something like, you know, Jamaica and John Candy, it does kind of makes it more appealing, makes it more warm and forgiving. And yeah, and it's a funny film. Like it does have its moments, you know.
Yeah, now let's talk about this Mighty Ducks.
You don't know this one?
No, you're going to help me here, okay?
Right.
So let's hear a clip of Mighty Ducks.
Have you guys ever seen a flock of ducks flying in perfect formation? Pretty awesome the way they all stick together. Ducks never say die. Ever seen a duck fight? No way. Why? Because the other animals are afraid. They know that if they mess with one duck, they got to deal with the whole flock. I'm proud to be a duck, and I'd be proud to fly with any one of you. So how about it?
I'll be Duck.
Yeah!
A Mighty Duck!
Yeah!
What are we?
Yeah! Okay, right, now so I can see.
I remember Howard the Duck, the Mighty Ducks,
yeah.
I'm struggling.
Right, so, I mean, I have a few years in you, but when I was like a little kid watching this, there was this and then D2, the Mighty Ducks. This really did popularize ice hockey in the 90s in places like in Europe and what have you, you know, because of the success of this film. So what was going on when this was Emilio Estevez was this high-flying lawyer who gets a DUI. As part of his community service, he has to take on Pee Wee, which is like the Little League NHL. And he's put with a bunch of misfits that are called the Ducks. And then he has to basically take them on, train them to be better than what they are, and eventually lead them to, you know, glory. I mean, like, it is the most typical kind of sports movie. Think Hoosiers, think Hoop Dreams, think Rudy, think any of these, except it's just set in the world of Pee-wee ice hockey. Three films were made of it. Emilio Estevez was in all three of them. Then there was a short-lived series on Disney Plus.
We just don't see Emilio Estevez anymore.
No, I mean, he's kind of gone a little bit off the boil as well. He's kind of been gotten into more into directing and so on and so forth. But yeah, I mean, he was brilliant in this. I mean, the kids that are in it as well, Joshua Jackson was in there as well. Very, very funny. Had a lot of kind of heart to it. And like I say, it was one of those films that was just constantly on video in the 90s. And then was like, you know, the big movie on Saturday evening on RTE. So yeah, it has a kind of bit of a cult following, but again, very, very enjoyable.
Now, we have a whole genre, coach movies. We have them basketball, they're in baseball. We have them with Ted Lasso in football. It's just, it's a whole thing of itself. Slapshot is the kind of the icy kind of version of it.
Yeah, so Slapshot again is another ice hockey movie, and this was from the 70s. George Roy Hill was directing this, but Paul Newman plays the player manager of this down and out minor league team. They have falling audience attendance. They're not really sure how they're going to kind of, you know, win back the crowd and all the rest. So he decides, all right, screw it. I'm just going to play dirty as much as I possibly can. So he basically engineers this team that are full of what they call goon style play. Now, if you don't know ice hockey, goons are basically the guys who run around and actually start fights in the middle of a night. No, and this is the thing, because like you get like 30 seconds for instigating an ice hockey. You actually learn try, you know, get a bit kind of throw a few punches and so on and so forth. So Paul Newman's idea is that he's basically going to start a team or make the team into a bunch of goons that they're going to start fights with everyone else. That will then drive
sounds
up
like certain club championship games.
Oh, no, it is.
Ireland.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is it. Like,
I don't know if they're officially known as goons, but certain players, you know.
And this is it. And you would agree as well, I think, that there is a kind of like a dark appeal in people kicking the crap out of each other when it's supposed to be a sort of a game of gentlemen and it's meant to be this sort of more sort of ballet-like thing. But in Slapshot, it's very much dark, dirty.
You'd recommend it?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's brilliant.
Like, I mean, Paul Newman, I have to
yeah,
say.
This is it. And like, this was Paul Newman in the era of, you know, Butch Cassidy, you know, later on The Verdict. But it's very, very funny. I would say don't watch it with kids because it is quite risque in parts, but very, very funny. Very much in his kind of, in his element with this.
Okay, the next one I want to talk about is, again, winter sports. We're talking about ice skating, you know, which obviously can be done all year round, but in terms of the sport that you see it at Olympic level. Tanya, now I saw this, I found it very grinding, very depressing, and I'm not saying maybe that's just what the story is.
Yeah,
Alison Janney's the mother of the character.
She's a
Tanya
monster.
Hurley was horrendous. Margot Robbie was, you know, cast a somewhat unlikely person from a poor American family, but she carried it off, etc. I mean, it's a great movie, but would you say, yeah, go and watch this tonight? I mean, it's Grimsville from my point
of view. Oh, no, it is, definitely, yeah. It is one of those films, I think, that you're watching it and there is, you know, a level of degradation in it. But that, I mean, when we think of ice skating, what do we think? Thorvald and Dean. Mm. We think of, you know, the elegance of it and the beauty and this classical music and they're, you know, skating around to Tchaikovsky and all the rest of it. And very much what was going on in I, Tanya was the fact that this was a person who was a natural outsider, you know, who had no quote-unquote right to be there, but forced her way in through just sheer will. I mean, like, there's a scene, there's a great scene in it when she dances around to ZZ Top, which, you
nothing
know,
wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that now. But I mean, this is the thing. At the time, you know, it was all classical music that people used to dance around to or to ice skate to. And here she was dancing around to Sleeping Bag by ZZ Top. It was crazy. No one ever knew what to do with it. And yet, you know, she became this massive star. But then, like everything else, you know, getting to the top is one thing. Staying on top is a completely other thing. And as we know what happened with Tanya, and then her husband, Jeff Galooly, and then Nancy Kerrigan, and so on and so forth, it becomes this kind of obsession, and then it turns into something much, much darker. I would say, you know, yes, if you're looking for a feel-good thing, sure, watch Cool Runnings, and you'll have a great time. If you're looking for something for the kids, absolutely.
My memory was the Nancy Kerrigan character was barely in the movie, was my memory.
It only turned up in the last, like,
incidental.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea was that Tanya Harding essentially had this massive career.
Like, the victim was less, it was not victim-centered, as people like
to say. No. And I mean, I can see why people would have a problem with that, because Nancy Kerrigan's career was effectively over once this happened. Whereas Tanya Harding, you know, became like, she went off and I think she did UFC at one point and all the rest of it. And then she was like doing a lot of, she was on the reality TV circuit. So you can understand why people had a problem with it. But that being said, I think the film is, you know, not it's not hagiography. I mean, it's not apologizing for Tonya Harding. I think it's just presenting it
now
as
we're
it was.
Under a bit of time pressure. When we talk about sports movies, the natural I must mention, or I'll be shocked by a lot of people, because Robert Redford passed away. But the one I want to mention is two very quick ones. Cliffhanger, climbing around a load of mountains.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
Is it Colorado, I'm presuming?
Colorado, yeah. Rocky and like the great John Lithgow in there as well is his brilliant villain in it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's worth a mention. Blades of Glory, it's a bit along the dodgeball type
it's
of
very
territory.
Yeah, it's a comedy thing with Jonathan Heater and Will Ferrell. It's all about figure skating. Very, very funny. Craig T. Nelson is in there as well. Yeah.
Red Army.
So this is a documentary about the KGB's influence over the Soviet Union's ice hockey team. And in the late 80s, early 90s, a number of ice hockey players from the Soviet Union defected in Canada. And it was about the KGB's efforts to try to stop them. Turns, you know, it goes from like, you know, sports into political drama, into spy mystery novel sort of thing. But very, very entertaining. And a lot of ex-KGB agents are quite open about the fact that, oh yeah, no, we were bugging everything, their hotel rooms, we were watching them constantly. And it has,
where do we get it? Is that on Netflix?
I'm nearly sure it's on YouTube. I think it's on Prime Video as well.
Red Army, fascinating, certainly.
Yeah, brilliant
documentary. Context of what's going on with Russia generally at the moment and all of that piece. Listen, we'll leave it there. Brian Lloyd, thank you very much for walking through. It's a tough genre, winter sports movies, but thank you for, well, there's actually a lot more than you might think when you've gone through your files. Thank you very much for that.
News Talk Saturday.